Autumn Miles back with you, the Autumn Miles Show. How are you doing this week, DFW, my home? Anyone got any Texas pride out there today? I know that you do. I love Texas. There's just something about it. There's blue bonnets were just blooming everywhere. And, you know, people along the highways taking pictures and with the blue bonnets. We didn't. That always scares me, but I feel like I should one day. Maybe that's you. Welcome to the show today. We have got an awesome guest. He's actually been a friend of mine for a while, him and his beautiful wife. But before we do that, if you want to hear the shows that you have missed, YouTube, check it out. We load them up every single day, and we want you to join us. I also want to hear from you guys. You know, we have heard from so many of you, and it's so awesome to see. You know, I talking to a mic, me and the team here in the studio. You never know who you're reaching. And when we hear from you, it really inspires us to do better, to pray harder, to minister to you and for you. And it's been amazing just to see what God has done. But without further ado, I want to welcome this guy. Now, this guy is pretty incredible. He's got an accent, which is super cool, but that's not why we have him on the show. He is the lead pastor of Life Vineyard Church, and that is in Columbus, Ohio. And he has an incredible story. His name is Simon Forsyth. Welcome to the show, Simon. I'm so glad you're with us.
Hello, I'm glad to be here.
Now, my brother is actually on staff at your church over there in Columbus, Ohio.
And he is.
That's how I met. We met several years ago. How long has David been on your staff, Simon?
Probably about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, my brother is, you know, he is a hipster before hipsters were cool. I remember when we were younger, like he would do the whole crazy hipster thing and, you know, he grows his own. He has a garden, but he like sows and all this kind of stuff. And I knew when he called me and said, Autumn, I met this guy. He is so awesome. My ears immediately perked up. And the guy that he was talking about was you, Simon. And you have such an incredible story. I've seen Life Church grow and develop over the years. But, man, I want to go back. I believe this show is going to minister to those that have a call to go. No matter what, go.
Sure.
I want to hear from you. Let's talk about your call and where you grew up and give me a little background on Simon.
Sure. Well, you know, I grew up, in Northern Ireland in the 1970s. And, I don't know if you know much about Northern Ireland, but it has a pretty kind of violent past. It was, you know, completely segregated as a kid, between, you know, religious grounds, you know, like I'm a Protestant, and so Northern Ireland had a lot of conflict between Protestant and Catholics for hundreds and hundreds of years. And so growing up in Northern Ireland in the 70s, there was a bunch of violence, and I'd never met a Catholic person until I was 12 years old, and we moved from Northern Ireland to Australia. And so the first thing my dad did when he moved me to Australia was he put me in a Catholic school. and I realized that, you know, that all these things I'd been told about Catholics growing up, not by my parents, but by the culture that I'd grown up in, were all a bunch of lies. You know, that, you know, Catholic people were just like me. You know, they love their kids and they, you know, they love God. And so, so I grew up in a Catholic school in Australia until I was, all through high school. Actually, I dated a girl for 4 or 5 years in high school, and actually her parents were from Southern Ireland, and they really discriminated against me, and it was quite intense.
Wow.
So, yeah. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, discrimination isn't just the color of your skin. I experienced that growing up in Northern Ireland. But I really appreciated what my dad did for me. It really taught me a lot about respect and honoring people and understanding where people are coming from. So that was awesome. But so I grew up in did my high school years and teenage years in Sydney, Australia, and then kind of surfing was my religion, I guess. When you've grown up in Northern Ireland and religion is kind of a negative thing, you're aware of God, but it's not very personal. And so surfing was my God, and the beach was my church. But my parents, when I was about 16 or 17 years old, started going to a church similar to the Hillsong Church in Australia, and started talking to me about my need to kind of have a relationship with God. And to cut a long story short, I became a Christian when I was 17, and really completely changed my life. I was quite a shy, introverted kid, but when I found out that Jesus loved me and it kind of died and risen again for me, it really changed not my personality, but my outlook on life.
Wow.
And felt a call to ministry very early on. So that's how I kind of came to know the Lord.
Oh, this is an awesome story so far, bounced around. There was so much trouble between the Protestants and Catholics. And then you started dating a Catholic girl. And that is crazy that her parents, it's totally believable, but I bet that relationship didn't go very well for very long.
No.
Yeah, that's just says trouble all over it. So you met Jesus rather than religion.
Yeah.
And there is such a difference, no matter. And this is great because here you're living in Australia. There's such a even there. There's a difference in religion versus relationship with Jesus. We can't preach that hard enough here at our show. It's not about the religion. It is about the relationship. And you've been inundated with all of this religion. So you become a Christian when you're 17. And you say it just totally changed your identity.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about that and then your call to ministry.
Sure. Well, it's interesting. In Australia, there's a huge separation between churched people and unchurched people. It's a really wide gap. And so, you're kind of confronted by it. You don't see Christianity on TV or in stores or, there's a huge gap between those two. And so when I became a Christian and started talking to my friends, I noticed that there was all of this tension between the two cultures. And God just kind of started to anoint me to kind of start to talk to people about Jesus. And so it was interesting. When I was 17, we lived on the beach just north of Sydney, and two of my friends and I started going out. There was all these nightclubs on the beach, and we would go and start talking to people about Jesus on the beach, and people just started to listen. Mm-hmm. And it kind of, I felt a call to ministry to be able to talk to people who are kind of far from God, to start to relate to them how much God loved them and how much he wanted to change their lives. And so, I fell in love with talking about Jesus and seeing, teenagers who were kind of, there was this weird culture where I grew up in Australia. It was paradise. It was right on the beach. It was gorgeous. Mm. But at the time, our region had the highest rate of teenage suicide in the world.
Wow.
And it just didn't make sense to me that it was paradise. Australia was this great country. The teenagers were just, in crisis more than ever before. And I just think that's what the gospel does. It breaks into darkness and really wants to transform the human heart. So I really felt called by God to start speaking into unchurched teenagers' lives. And I found myself in this little church where, there's probably like 10 or 15 kids, kind of church kids. And very quickly, the youth ministry grew from 10 or 15 church kids to about 200 unchurched teenagers, and all of the mess that comes with that, all of the kind of like sexual tension and drug abuse and stuff like that that you kind of confronted with. And so the gospel just wanted to start to, and the word of God just started to break into that. It was awesome.
So you saw the power of I mean, because if you're not inundated, like in the States, it's everywhere, especially in Dallas. And, you know, I mean, there's lots of mega churches. There's everywhere. It's like that. You're coming to us from Columbus, Ohio. There's a church, you know, you go a mile and you see three churches or five or 10. So it is everywhere here. And it's interesting that in Australia, they don't have that kind of a culture. So you saw the power of the gospel start changing people's lives so much so that you had an incredible growth in a short amount of time. What was the time frame there of that growth?
It's probably like 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Wow. That's incredible. Yeah. So you're basically leading a church within a church because of the passion that you had for the gospel. So talk to me about your desire to come to the States, because now you're in Columbus from Australia. How did that happen?
Sure. So I started working with an organization called 24/7 Prayer, and they're based out of England. And basically, it was a prayer ministry that started these prayer rooms in local churches, and they would pray for a week unbroken. It included the arts and missionary kind of outreach. So I ran the Australian base of 24/7 Prayer for a few years, and God really started to develop leadership in my life. And at the same time, the pastor of the church that I was growing up in was kind of, the church is going through a difficult time, and so he was starting to kind of not want to take risks in ministry and not really wanting to reach out to the community. And I was just kind of taking off in my kind of ministry and kind of taking off and wanting to take risks. Mm. And so what I started to do was I started to fill out job applications online, not for the purpose of actually leaving the church I was in, but no one was asking me questions about my faith. No one was asking me questions about ministry. And so it was almost like a type of spiritual therapy where I would fill out these job applications online, and they would ask me questions. And so I was actually in Spain at a conference when a church in Columbus, Ohio, told me that I was down to one of four people that they were considering from this job. and the weird thing is I hadn't even told my wife that I was applying for jobs.
Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't really doing that anyway. I was just doing it for, you know, for my own kind of spiritual development. But so I get back from 2 weeks in Spain, and my first morning back from being overseas, this lady called our house, and she's an American, and she wants to speak to me, and my wife had picked up the phone. Of course, my wife jumped straight to the fact that, you know, I've met some American girl while I was in Spain and done something inappropriate.
Oh, my gosh. You know? It's a church calling you, right?
It's a church calling to tell me that, you know, they want to bring me out for this job interview. And so I have to confess to my wife that I've been applying for jobs overseas. And so, you know, she thought that was a lot better than me meeting some girl in Spain.
I bet she did.
So we landed in Columbus, Ohio in November. And I don't know if you know anything about Columbus, Ohio, but here in Columbus, we don't care for the entire state of Michigan. And so we landed here in the Ohio State-Michigan game, and it was crazy.
My gosh.
But I was offered the job, and, you know, so my wife and I and our one-year-old son moved here from sunny, you know, Sydney, Australia, to snowing, a blizzard, in February, and to this church in Columbus, Ohio.
And it does blizzard there. We did a conference actually at your church a couple of years ago, and there was a blizzard that day. It was totally insane.
Yeah.
Okay, so you move from sunny Australia, the beach, to America, and it goes without saying that God was clearly in this. But what was the draw to America? You're in Australia. There's not the culture that we have. What was the draw to America? Did you know that there was churches everywhere here? What was your thought process like?
Sure. Well, it's interesting. It's going to sound strange, but I really felt like God was calling me to be a missionary to America. And which sounds weird because America sends out missionaries all over the world. And so when God kind of put that in my heart, that he was sending me to America as a missionary, I didn't really say much about that until I got here and I kind of saw the culture in America and saw the culture in the American church. And then it made absolute sense to me why God had called me to be a missionary in America.
And talk to me about that culture a little bit, because that's really interesting to me. You, someone from another country, would look just, I mean, and no judgment here. I'm just interested in your thoughts about what you saw.
Well, you know, when I got here, I could see that, you know, there are churches in America are full of people who, you know, Scripture says that at times we can have a form of godliness but completely deny its power. And I started to see it within the American church that I was able to kind of look at. And again, no judgment, but I saw that there were people who were working really hard to look good on Sunday morning, but there was no real redemptive kind of power in their lives for the next 6 days. And that was something that really, really troubled me. I saw within the church, people within church culture who had almost become inoculated to the gospel of Jesus, that had no real power in their lives. And so that was really what I felt God was calling me to, was to kind of challenge that in people's lives.
Which is so, I love this, because you talked about the gospel earlier, just a few minutes ago, and how the gospel totally changed your identity. Then here you are in a different country, and you come here, and I'm telling you, our tagline here at the Autumn Mile Show is engaging culture with bold truth and raw faith. And, you know, to be as an American, to hear that, from someone that you know, grew up in Northern Ireland, lived in Australia, it should wake us up to all the resources that we have available to us. We are blessed to live here. We're blessed to have a church on every corner. Are we engaging the way God wants us to engage here, exactly where we live, or do we need people to be our missionaries and to say, listen, the power of the gospel is bigger than you're giving it credit for. That's just fascinating to me. That's just fascinating to me. So talk to me about you coming over here. Okay, you saw the culture, and then what'd you do when you came over here?
Well, I had culture shock for, you know, for quite a period of time. It takes a little while to kind of get used to it. So I took a couple of years to kind of just, you know, I didn't think that I was coming from Ireland or Australia to save America. I actually last year became an American, and it's one of the most proud things I've ever done in my life.
Amazing.
I really feel like this is my home.
So
I love America, but more than loving America, I love the gospel. You know, one of the things I know is, like, growing up in Northern Ireland, you kind of learn about this guy called St. Patrick. And one of the things that St. Patrick kind of taught me about the church was, you know, like, in his day, the church was so focused on talking about origins and destinations, like where we come from, you know, like Genesis through where are we going in, you know, heaven or hell. And they weren't focusing on what St. Patrick kind of called the flawed middle, like all the stuff in the middle of that we call just our life. And so what Patrick wanted to do was talk and kind of challenge people that the gospel wanted to break in to their everyday lives. And so that's really what we've been trying to do as a church here in Columbus, is talk to people about how the gospel wants to kind of break into their everyday life, and not just where they're going when they die, or not just where we came from, but like, how does it break into the fact that, you know, you have conflict with your wife, or, you know, like you have a hard time with your boss, you hate your job, or you're addicted to wanting to upgrade your zip code or your car or your handbag or whatever. You know, like, there's this tension in our lives. Like, and one of the other problems I see with the church is there's this tension because we want to act like we've got it all figured out. But we don't have it all figured out. Mm. So And so I want to have a conversation about the fact that, that sometimes there's tension within the church where we want to look like we've got it all figured out, but we don't. Mm. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So you planted a church. This is all super good stuff. I want to get to just a couple of things. We only have about five more minutes. You planted a church in Gahanna. You guys started in Gahanna. Is that right? You came over to be to be a pastor at this. Was it Vineyard Church there in Columbus? Is that right?
Yeah, it was. I pastored in. I was associate pastor at a church in a suburb called Reynoldsburg.
Reynoldsburg. Okay.
And so I was there for about 7 years, and then, God kind of called us to plant a church, and so with 30 people and about 700 children, you know, with all, you know, 30 people in a living room, we planted our church about 6 years ago in a little suburb called Gahanna.
Mm.
So, and Gahanna is this beautiful little suburb on the east side of Columbus, and. And the church grew pretty quickly, 200-300 people. And but then I started to see something within our congregation. I like to refer to it like we were like puppies in a box, wanting to lick each other, you know. And just kind of, and I started to see that we really were becoming more inward focused, and we started to hear God talk to us as a community. But He's challenging us to see the city of Columbus, and so we moved from this nice little suburb called Gahanna down into the actual city of Columbus. And so, which was quite a culture shock for our church because we were a very kind of middle-class white church, and we moved into an area where on one side we have a very affluent Jewish community, and then on the other side of the road we have a very urban black community. And it's been a real culture shock for our church, but it's been awesome.
That's awesome. One of the things you told my producers about speaking in lines of this culture shock, you know, I know it's because of your love for the gospel. And, you know, if you're inwardly focused, well, you're not being evangelistic. So you said the gospel isn't safe.
No.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that.
The gospel, Jesus offends me every day. The gospel offends me. It's not safe. There's a line in C.S. Lewis's Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe with a little girl. I forget her name. She asks about Aslan, and she discovers that he is a lion, and she says, I heard that he is a lion. Is he safe? And the person says, well, no, he's not safe. He's a lion, but he's good.
Yes.
And I think this is the thing about the gospel. The gospel isn't safe, but the gospel is good. And I tell some people when I get a chance that the gospel is kind of like a nuclear reactor, you know? Like, if you're not careful, it'll melt your face, you know? But if you know how to apply it to your life, it will power your life forever, for eternity. And so it's not safe. It will, you know, it challenges us. It challenges our views on sexuality. It challenges our views on generosity. It challenges our views on so many things. And so if it's not offending you, then I question whether you're really you're really letting it go deep into your life.
The line that you told one of my producers, and I have it right here. I it's so good. The gospel isn't safe. It will offend you. It will challenge you. It will build you up. It'll strip you down.
Yeah.
It is good, but it is not safe. It is brilliant.
Yeah.
And I mean, we need a dose of that. You know, I feel like we only have about 1 minute here, but Simon, you clearly represent that line. You have lived that line. I mean, and we see it. And congratulations on being an American before we close out the show.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. But you have lived that line coming from Australia to the States. You planted a church in a place that you did not grow up.
Yeah.
What would you say to that person that feels very inwardly focused right now? How do they engage the gospel more in their life?
You know, it's interesting, Autumn. We always have to make decisions that the gospel always wants to kind of push us out, but our human heart is always going to choose comfort. And I think if someone wants to, if we love people, then we're going to just want to have, we're going to listen to them. We're going to respect and honor them, even if we disagree with them. And so if someone's feeling inward focused, I would challenge and encourage them to start to just every day try to have a loving conversation with someone that may not even agree with them. And, you know?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being on our show, Simon. I have great respect for you, and we wish you well over there in Columbus, Ohio. And again, congratulations on being an American right with
us.
Thank you so much for listening to the Autumn Mile Show. I pray this encourages you today. We'll see you tomorrow right back here on the Autumn Mile Show.